This is Tri-State's Public Radio News. The employment contracts between the Keokuk School District and the unions representing the district's employees expire at the end of June. The initial offers for new contracts have been exchanged, and as Tri-State's Public Radio's Jason Parrott tells us, they could lead to significant changes for union employees.
The district's teachers, for example, want a five-year deal with 5% raises and a new labor management committee to review non-contract issues. Support staff want a three-year contract with 5% raises and a change to a sick leave bonus payment. The school district countered with one-year offers. Support staff would get a 1% raise, while teacher salaries would be frozen, though each teacher would get a $500 bonus. The district also wants to drop all other language from future contracts, and it has the right to do so after Iowa lawmakers last year rewrote the rules for public employee collective bargaining. Now, wages are the only mandatory negotiating topic. Everything else is considered optional, including hours, grievances, safety, seniority, vacations, holidays, and staff reductions. School employees plan to mobilize in response to the district's proposal. They are encouraging people to pack the Keokuk School Board meeting Thursday night at 6 at Torrance Elementary. The idea is to ask the school board to negotiate all issues as previously done. Jennifer Shear says it is well within the employees' rights to ask for that. Shear is the director of the University of Iowa Labor Center. She says the new collective bargaining law does not require local governments to stop negotiating with unions.
In every local setting, employers are having to make the decision about will they continue, in some cases, decades of longstanding agreements and negotiation process that have been focused on a wide range of working conditions, or will they refuse to talk about those, which the law now allows, but certainly doesn't require.
What are you seeing across the state? Are you seeing more offers? Because we're right in the time of initial offers for schools, for counties, for cities. Are you seeing more where they're agreeing to discuss these permissive optional issues? Or are you seeing more where they're just saying, no, all we're going to talk about is wages and the contract will only be wages?
We're seeing some of both. And I have to say there is not a comprehensive collection of proposals that have been made so far. So I don't think anybody knows the answer on a hard statistical basis. And in fact, part of what we've been doing is trying to collect information and examples about what's happening so far. And so it's a pretty broad spectrum. There are instances of districts who are coming out and saying very openly, we intend to maintain discussions on these optional items and maintain them in the contract because we think it's good for our relationship with employees. We think it's good for our ability to recruit and retain qualified people in professional positions. And then you have districts on the other end of the spectrum who are definitely come into negotiations saying, we refuse to talk about anything but wages. Community responses have also been along a spectrum. In some communities, people are coming forward and saying, we disagree with that, and we would like the board to reconsider that position. And in some communities, boards have reconsidered that position. In others, they haven't. And so there's just a wide range. And part of what we're seeing unfold, I think, is the context that states like Wisconsin, in some cases, have already gone through, where you end up with, in some cases, pretty stark disparities between districts that maintain certain levels of both pay, but also working conditions and working standards, and others that don't. And Wisconsin folks who've been through this for a few years have often described it as the haves and the have-nots begin to develop. And so one thing that I think a lot of people who watch not just labor issues, but public education trends in general have been concerned about is that split between districts who are able to recruit and retain teachers in a time of growing shortage and those who have a harder time doing that.
One of the issues that comes out of this is if a district, a school district or a county or a city says we don't want to negotiate these permissives, but we will put them into a handbook. That seems to be something that is heard a lot of. What is the difference for people that are not involved in this and don't know? What's the difference if something is in a handbook versus in an actual negotiated contract?
There's a fairly significant legal difference. Handbook is not a legally binding document. It's not a negotiated agreement between two parties. It is a policy that's imposed by management and can at any time be changed by management if they use their discretion to do that. So the handbook versus a contract debate has unfolded in some localities. And I think part of what we're living through is the reality that most of us and most people in local elected positions were not around before 1974 to experience what it was like for people to only have handbooks, which were often arbitrarily changed or in some cases weren't adhered to, and which in some cases, including here in Keokuk, gave rise to very significant disputes at certain times when management would either change or a new superintendent would come to town and significantly change a policy, and all of a sudden what was in the handbook was thrown out the window.
Shear is the director of the University of Iowa Labor Center. She participated in a nearly three-hour meeting at the Keokuk Labor Temple Saturday morning that focused on Iowa's new collective bargaining law and how to respond to proposals to remove language from union contracts. Shear says it's fitting to visit Keokuk related to the school contract issues. She says a teacher strike in Keokuk in 1970 played a key role in the passage of Iowa's public employee collective bargaining law in 1974. I'm Jason Parrott, Tri-State's Public Radio News.